Let us pray. God of love, you call us to repentance. You offer us love we decline to receive and fail to share with others. Help us reclaim your love in our hearts. By your loving spirit, reshape us as vessels of your love. You are the potter. We are the clay. In the spirit of Christ, speak to us and make us new. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. Seek Yahweh while you can. Call on God, who is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the evil one their thoughts. Let them turn to Yahweh, and God will have mercy on them. Turn to the Holy One, for God will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares God. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The word of life. Thanks be to God. A reading from 1 Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful and will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, God will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Hear the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel. There are some people who told Jesus about Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus said, do you suppose that those people were worse sinners than everybody else in Galilee? No. But I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. Or those 12 people who were killed when that tower in Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were worse offenders than everybody else in Jerusalem? No. But unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. And then he told them a parable. A landowner had a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and it wasn't producing figs. They said, look, I've been coming for 3 years. There's no fruit on this tree. Cut it down. Why should it take up space in my garden? But the gardener said, no, wait, boss, don't cut it down. Let me dig around it and put manure around it. And then we'll see if next year it bears fruit. If so, well and good. And if not, then you can cut it down. The gospel of the beloved Jesus Christ. You've probably heard this old story. A century ago, this captain of an old battleship, this is before GPS or radar or radio, they're steaming along through the ocean in the middle of the night, and they see a light right straight ahead. And just then they get a Morse code message that says, collision course, change heading 5 degrees north. Well, this is a great big huge battleship. This guy's a commander. He's not accustomed to being bossed around. So he has the signalman signal back, holding our course, change your heading 5 degrees south. Message comes back, not possible. Change heading 5 degrees north. So he has his signalman signal back. This is Admiral William Williamson of the U.S. Navy. Gets a reply back. This is Ed Bunsen. Change your course 5 degrees north. We are a 40,000 ton battleship. Boom. Gets a message back. Change your course 5 degrees north. We are a lighthouse. You know, we so much want the other person to be the one who has to change their course 5 degrees. I don't want to be wrong. I want to at least be more right than somebody. I think that's part of what those people that were talking to Jesus were getting at. Are there better and worse people? Are there sinners and righteous? Is there some sort of pay grade here? We want that. We can't understand why bad things happen to good people, because we assume that good things should happen to good people and bad things should happen to bad people, and there should be a measuring stick. There should be some gradation, right? I'm better than Adolf Hitler, right? And Jesus said, nope. It's not the way it works. God makes the rain to fall and the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. Somebody comes to him once and calls him good teacher, and he says, why do you call me good? Nobody is good but God. Jesus doesn't believe that there are better and worse people. There's just people. But unless you repent, you will perish. What it means to be people is it means to be sinful. Now, when we say you're all sinners and you need to repent or else perish, right away our hackles go up and we want to say, no, you change your course 5 degrees south. Partly because of so many preachers who have meant by that, you're a sinner, meaning you're an awful person, something wrong with you. And you have to repent, which means basically you have to beat up on yourself. And if you don't, God will punish you and you will die. That comes from an old, old vision of who God is that runs all through the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament that says that God is primarily a lawgiver. And God's relationship with us is one of making demands. And if we do, then if we obey, then God rewards us. And if we don't obey, God punishes us. There's another vision of God throughout the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, and it was Jesus' favorite. God is not a lawgiver. God is a life giver. And what God does is give us life. And what God asks us to do is receive life and share life with other people. And when we get it wrong, when we mess up, God doesn't punish us. God gives us more life. So to repent doesn't mean to beat up on ourselves. It means to receive God's grace. What it means to be a sinner is not that we're bad people. It's like a fruit tree that isn't bearing fruit. It's not a bad tree. It's just not bearing fruit yet. It turns out when you plant a fig tree, it takes 4 years for it to begin producing figs. The landowner says, I've been coming here for 3 years and there's no figs. The gardener knows better. Of course it's a fig tree and it's going to bear fruit. I just need to feed it more. And you need to wait, because that fruit is in it. It will come out. Don't worry. What it means to be a sinner is not a bad person, but simply a person whose love is incomplete. God asks us to love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength and love our neighbor as ourself. And we're not very good at that. Our love is incomplete. Doesn't mean we're bad people. Just means our love isn't perfect yet. And what God does when our love is imperfect is to give us more love. Like the sun that just shines light, doesn't shine darkness. The sun doesn't punish a plant for growing poorly. It just gives it light. So Jesus tells this story about repentance. And it's the fig tree. We're the ones who want to cut ourselves down. But God wants to dig around us and feed the soil and nourish us. But first we have to admit that we're sinners. And we need that grace. When I was in junior high, we were at an amusement park, me and my family, and there was this family ahead of us in the line for the bumper cars, which is my favorite, with this little girl who was like 5 or 6, and she was a screaming brat. She wanted everything, and she wanted it her way, and she was not going to listen to anything else, and she was totally obnoxious and in a permanent tantrum. And this is a long wait in this line for the bumper cars. And she never let up. And she wanted to do a bumper car all by herself. And her parents tried to explain to her that she might need some help. Because, nope, don't want to hear it. No. She just wasn't going to listen to them. And finally, when we got up to the front of the line, they said, okay. And they let her go all by herself. And she got in the car that she wanted, which was a blue bumper car. And it was facing away from her parents so she wouldn't have to see them. And the bell rang, and all the bumper cars started, except hers. She just sat there, and she wailed and moaned and wept and felt awful and lonely and terrible. And I watched this little girl, and my heart just broke. I thought, oh, she doesn't realize. There's a button on the floor that you have to push, like the gas pedal, to make it go. She doesn't know that. And she's not about to listen to her parents, and she can't see them because they're behind her. And she's not about to turn around, and they're calling to her, trying to tell her. She won't listen. She sat there the whole time, never moved. And that little girl has stayed with me for all these years because I'm so much like her. I do not want God to tell me what to do. I don't want to be the one that has to change my course 5 degrees. I don't want to have God's help. And when Jesus says to repent, it doesn't mean to beat yourself up. You know, to repent literally means to repoint. It means to turn around. I just need to turn around to the bumper car and let God help me. Because I actually need help. I need to let God feed me. Like that tree that needs to be fed. Isaiah knows that. In that passage Ed just read, how we spend our energy for all this junk that doesn't really nourish our souls. And God says, come to me, turn around, come to me. Let me really feed you. It's not enough to just say we're Christians. Paul writes to the Corinthians, yeah, there were people who followed Moses and they were in the right gang, but they still didn't make it. It's not enough. We have to actually tell God, I need you. I'm a sinner. Feed me. And we let God feed us. That's what repentance is. We come to this table with hungry hearts and outstretched hands like beggars and say, God, I really need you. And God feeds us. Gives us what really nourishes us. Gives us God's own self. Says, here, take me. Take all of me. I know you'll waste a lot of it. I know you'll drop some of it. I know it won't really sink in. I don't care. Just take me. Take all my love. Let it soak in. Just come to me and take my love. That's the kind of repenting that we need, to allow ourselves to be God's beloved. to let God help us and feed us and heal us and love us. That is what really turns our lives around. Maybe 5 degrees, maybe 180 degrees. That's what enables us to really bear the fruit of God's love in the world. So we'll sing a song, and then I invite you to just meditate on this mystery that God wants to feed you. Imagine God giving you God's whole self and feast on that love. Will you pray with me? God, we are so hungry for you. We don't recognize it. We think we're hungry for other things. We pursue lots of other things. Help us to turn to you and let you feed us with your love, with your heart, with your whole self. Give us grace to receive your grace. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.